My beloved, walking on the road, I saw a stream with its surface frozen, and under that water was still moving. I was fascinated with what I was seeing and hearing. This sound of the water under the ice, it was like a beautiful song. I was motionless. I opened and closed my eyes like in a game. Today in Vipassana, I felt exactly like that stream. The frozen surface is my mind. The water under the eyes is the real strength that makes me go beyond thoughts and judgments. Many times I move from an unexplainable strength, independent of the nonsense my mind says. And today I had the clarity that it is this strength that I have to trust and focus on. Even though I don't understand what it is, and I'm sure that this strength, this presence, is what brought me close to you. Thus, I have no alternative but to surrender to it and to you more and more and more until the song of the moving water becomes silence. And so I go on. Eternal gratitude and love, Sabine. I'm happy, Sabine, that you see, because like I so often say, you have to have your own experience, your own understanding, your own realization. And then the change happens by itself, because it's your own understanding. It's impossible to go against your own understanding. You have to surrender to it. I had this clarity that it is this strength that I have to trust and focus on. Strength is not even the right word, it's just a clarity. Because it's effortless. And when you can see, when you are clear, then everything falls into place. Only when you don't see, which you can never do out of your mind, because the mind is split. So now you have fallen back into yourself. That's what I'm trying all the time, to bring you back to your heart. Then a different reality, a different life is opening up in you when you come back. Then it's a different wisdom, no? A different wisdom that you cannot find in your mind, that knows. There is no doubt. And this is what I have to trust and focus on, even if I don't understand what it is. It's because understanding, that comes from the mind. You cannot understand. But truth is beyond logic. That's why those who are in their mind, in the logic, they can never find truth. They can read about it, they can study about it, they can write books about it, they can write songs about it, about love, about truth, about enlightenment. But maybe they never touched it. When you have touched it, then it does something. And that's what happened. It's exactly like that. When you are identified with the mind, which you are most of the time, then you are frozen. And even afraid to melt. Because what happens then? You lose control. You lose your identity. You lose yourself as you've known it. So this can only happen in love, in meditation, in surrender. It's a happening. You cannot do it. And when it happens, it changes everything. Then you see for the first time very clearly how it is. So again and again I tell you, truth is very dangerous. Satsang is very dangerous because you will have to change. Love demands you to grow, to go deeper. Truth demands you to become real if you want to be his friend. It's just the universal law. You have to. So coming closer to yourself, you have to become more real. That means that you will have to grow. And that is uncertain. It's not frozen. You have to be alive. Unconscious, frozen, you can live the whole life, but nothing changes. Everything is the same. That's the ordinary society, you know. That's why people know, I know that person. 20 years ago I know, it's exactly the same, nothing happened. We have a reunion from our high school. Everybody comes together, everybody is the same. How cozy. How cozy it is. If you are not frozen, if you become alive, you are bound to change. And that is also the scared, you have to live. Life means change, you have to become fluid. It's a challenge. The mind never wants to go there, it has to happen inside you. And when the heart has touched it, then it wants, because it's real, you become alive. And that's what happened. Now you see, I have to trust and focus on. Yes, that's the only thing worth focus on. Even though I don't understand what it is, who cares? You don't need to figure out. You need to live. You need to be. You need to be conscious. And I'm sure that this strength, this presence is a much better word, is what brought me close to you. Yeah, because you have, everybody has something in them of that presence. And that presence wants to wake up. It wants to grow. It wants to be real. And when you have touched it, it's very easy. Because that will help you. Thus, I have no alternative but to surrender to to it and to you. Yes, you have no alternative. But still, surrender can only come out of this understanding. Otherwise, it's a false surrender, it's meaningless. But when you see how things are, then you will accept it, you will bow down. You will never win, but you don't need to surrender, but you will never win. You can fight. You can fight and fall and get bruised and get injured many, many times. But sooner or later you have to accept things as they are. I have no alternative. No, that's exactly what you have, no alternative. Because this is how it is. Why should you fight? Why should you be frozen when you can be flowing? This is the amazing thing. I have no alternative but to surrender to it and to you. It and me is the same thing. That's what brought you here. Because you weren't conscious enough to listen to it yourself. You needed somebody outside you to show you that this is real. Yes, this is real. Listen. Surrender to it and to you more and more and more until the song of the moving water becomes silence. Yeah, that's how it is. The work is to go from the head to the from the frozen to the alive, from the head to the heart. Then to get settled in the heart, in life, in beauty. Then that itself will take you to silence. And so I go on. No, you don't need to go on anymore. You can just flow on. Relax, Sabine. Eternal gratitude and love, Sabine. That's the beauty also when you start slowing down and become more conscious, then you can get messages, you can learn from everywhere. You can have an insight from everywhere. Just a frozen river, or a tree, or a bird. Or the cloud, anything can trigger something in you because you are present to the moment. In fact, everything is reminding us all the time, but we are so busy with our own thoughts. I went skiing in the mountains, and then you have a whole field full of diamonds, sparkling. And people are mad, they kill each other for diamonds, they struggle a lot. Whole field and the hills and the mountains were full of diamonds, sparkling. And that's so beautiful, you don't need to touch anything, it's just the beauty of it. You just enjoy it when you pass by. How beautiful. All the crystals in the snow. But people, they normally don't see. Seeing something like that and being present is worth more than all the diamonds in the world. Just seeing that, really seeing it. And you get intoxicated. How rich we are. But people doesn't have this understanding. They don't have that depth to really enjoy. Then they think a diamond is going to make you happy. Nothing, nothing make you happy. And if you're in yourself, if you're alive, then just snow crystal will make you totally intoxicated. Because I don't know what's happening down here for you guys, but where I live, it's sunny. And it's the truth, you know. It's not bragging or anything. It's just, I'm just amazed. It's like, the sun is there. It's the truth. That's what. It's difficult to understand if you haven't seen it. That's the Buddhas. They go on, they try. It is something. But if you haven't seen it, then when you see it, then, ah, my God. Rumi says, O beloved, take me, liberate my soul, open my heart, fill me with your love, and release me from the two worlds. If I set my heart on anything but you, let fire burn me from inside. That's what you just said, Sabine. I have no choice. If I set my heart on anything but you, let fire burn me from inside. And it's so easy to get lost. It's a very good idea to have something. If you go out, then you get burnt. I shouldn't go there. Like now they have some cars, and if you go a little bit outside, then you start do. Like they have these tracks on the road also. If you come out there, then it makes sound. And then, whoa, and then you come back, like that. That's what seekers should have. That, whoa, no. It's so tempting. Oh, then back again. Oh, yeah. Then you wake up. Maybe I should design something for sannyasin. Because now people, they have everything, but they don't have that awareness. They don't have themselves. So that would be great, but it's a little too early, I think. If I set my heart on anything but you, let fire burn me from inside. But this is not so easy to have something from the inside as outside. You have to have a certain awareness. And if that is not there, then again and again and again, you're going to go astray. You're going to do things against yourself. That's the habit of unconsciousness, of desires, of dreams, of wanting something that maybe can fulfill you. Then you fall down instead of rising. Only if the awareness, this understanding has come to a certain point, that yes, this is what I want to be focused on. This is the most important. Only then will you manage. Because it has to burn from the inside. O beloved, take away what I want. Take away what I do. Take away what I need. Take away everything. Take away everything that takes me from you. Only then it will work. Beloved, it's a bit of a new experience for me, but since the last retreat in Brazil, I have this feeling of resting so deep into my own heart that it feels like I'm drowning into my own heart. Drown. I'm much more in contact with this experience of my own heart. Sometimes, meeting with people or listening to music or just sitting after some kind of fulfilling activity makes me rest deep into my heart. I just notice that sometimes a kind of feeling of my heart seems to be provided by mind, sometimes by emotions, and sometimes it's maybe more a result of a fulfilling activity or experience. You have been talking about the emotional heart and other kinds of heart experiences. I'm just wondering or would like to know a bit more about these different types of experiencing the heart so it can be a bit more clear to me that my experiences are real and not just created by my mind. With love, China. And just put your whole focus, China, on relaxing into your heart. That is the most important, because the mind has been in control for so long. And if the heart is not opening up, which is what you are saying, since the last retreat in Brazil, I have this feeling of resting so deep into my own heart that it feels like I'm drowning into my own heart. Drown. That's what is important, in whichever way. Because the mind, your head, your ego has been in control so long that when you start getting in touch with your heart, just surrender as much as you can to your heart. I just said that's the main work to get you from your head to your heart. No, just a little awareness. Don't be very careful to get involved with your head. Get to know your own heart more and more. Start trusting your heart. And it has layers and layers and layers and layers. What I'm talking about is nothing of how you talk about the heart, because you have never felt that. It's a totally unstained heart. It's nothing to do with the physical heart. It's nothing to do with feelings or emotions either. It's the heart of the heart. I use it in the same way as your essence. But for you, the heart is more emotion, which is very good because that is the beginning to come from your heart, to feel, to be drowned in it. Like meeting people or listening to music or just sitting after some kind of fulfilling activity makes me rest deep into my heart. Yeah, get used to it in whatever way, because it's much, much better than to be in your fucked up mind. You start listening to your heart, and the heart will show you a whole new life. Listening to beautiful music, feeling people, being more careful, being more slow, being more sensitive to yourself, enjoying a hot bath. All little things, normal things in life that really feel, allow your heart to melt, to be more present. The heart has been so neglected that you have to be very careful and tender with your own heart when it starts opening. You have to put all your focus there. But that is not the end, just like I said the other day. Even if you're happy, even if you're in the heart, and even if you're just enjoying eating chocolate, it's much more than that. It's much more worth it to have a life in the heart than in the mind, of course. It's incomparable. Because in the heart, you are a human being, which already brings a totally different reality into your life. Most people can be like machines. It's very scary also because you become much more sensitive. You have to be much more true to yourself. Like I said, truth is challenging. If you want to be real and you have been living false, of course that will bring many challenges to you. That normally you are not ready to take. And you don't have this brum when you go out of the road. So then you do mistakes again and again and again. Till you have this awareness that no, I want enough bullshit. That you cannot do that. That is an effort. I'm not talking about effort. It has to come from your own understanding. Enough is enough. Only then can it happen. I notice that sometimes a kind of feeling of my heart seems to be provided by mind. Yes, because you are so used to being in the mind. It will swing. That is also totally normal. You don't know what is your heart saying and what is your mind saying. You're like a yo-yo. That only your own time can tell. Where will you settle now? You will know when you're feeling content, when you're feeling relaxed, when you are at ease, when you are in harmony, when there is no conflict, when there is no question about doing this or that. If you're in your heart, you are there. That's already an indication. If it's any man forgets the mind, go deeper then. The heart is content. And it has so many beautiful human things to show you. To be filled of peace, of love, of satisfaction, of contentment, of gratefulness. So, I notice sometimes the kind of feeling of my heart seems to be provided by mind, sometimes by emotions, and sometimes it may be more a result of a fulfilling activity or experience. Yeah, you have to take notice of all this, but this is not the heart that I'm talking. This is still influenced by the mind, by the emotions, by feeling, by what you do, maybe what people say. It still influences by the outside, no? Much better than to be lost in the mind, but go deeper. Now it's a new gate that's been opening for you. Trust it, China. Trust it, okay? You have been talking about the emotional heart and other kinds of heart experiences. No, only the emotional heart have experiences. The real heart, the heart I'm talking about really, there is no really experiences, because I mix many times the heart as the self, as your essence. The cave of the heart, like Ramana Maharshi said. In there is just isness. Isness. There is not good or bad. There is not up or down. There is not feeling high or low. It just is. It's beyond. But the heart and the emotional heart is on the way. I'm just wondering, or would like to know a bit more about these different types of experiences, experiencing the heart. I'm all for that you experience, because only experience will give you different tastes of life. And you are multidimensional. But it's all experiences, and the real I'm talking about, that is beyond that, your true essence, which it's what the Buddhas are hinting at, there is no experience as such. There is no experience, because the experiencer has gone. The experiencer itself has gone. It's just a presence. To experience something, it has to be somebody, you and watching something. I'm in the movie theater. Then you experience something. So when that experiencer is gone, then it's just a presence. God's presence. You are not separated. That is no duality anymore. You are not experienced, you are it. This is very difficult to talk about. Which is the heart, if it's any heart, is the heart of God. It's nothing to do with any emotion, it's just clarity, isness, beingness. Then from that space, all functions of the physical form as a human functions to its optimum, because it's clean, it's not polluted by the mind or feelings or emotions or the past. It's crystal clear, so it functions very good. Then it senses everything as it should be. So then you will feel even more. Your emotions will be even stronger. Your senses will be much more purified. But they won't be confused. All experiences, it belongs to you. So experiences are very, many people hold back from experiences. I am all for experiences, but there's something beyond experiencing. Something way beyond any, if you, Kundalini is rising and colors and ecstasy and like this. It's something beyond all that. That is still you experiencing it. The real thing is just totally nada. Everything is you're just the witness to it, consciousness to it. Your essence is beyond that. Your soul is beyond the physical. Only the physical can go up and down, or any emotional experiences or feelings. So that doesn't mean that doesn't happen, but there's something deeper that watch it happen. So your experiences are real. And maybe sometimes created by your mind, maybe sometimes not. Who cares? Enjoy the ride. And remember what he says, don't take it seriously.
Is it in the sunlit meadow? Is it in the rocks and trees? Is it in the blue and yellow? Is it in the one who sees? This radiance I recognize, even when I close my spoken, as trackless in their flight as birds. Is it in the silence broken? Is it in between the words? This living truth you make so clear, the speaking stops, but still I quiet mind. Does it only come in glimpses? Is it an event in time? This peace that permeates my mind, my moods, these changing states. Is it in your form that I hold so dear? Away, does it disappear? Could it be so localized? This love which no one claims. You come, you go, but it remains. And I cannot see how I missed this before.
So the mind, the lower self, the frozenness in humans, then they never touch the heart, no? So when they start coming back to the heart, then a whole new dimension of reality happens, no? Then they start becoming human. Huh? And to be human is beautiful, and then everything is involved in that. Feeling, sensing, smelling, hearing, everything can be a door to beauty, to ecstasy. All the senses, that is a sensitive human being, totally alive. Now, when that gets all purified and you go deeper, which is the part of meditation, then you can come back to your divine heart. You have your lower self, the false, the frozen, then you have the human self, your heart, the emotions, all this, then you have your divine self. Then everything is purified, you are just in your original state. But the heart, the humanness, and even the mind functions totally as it should, but then it will function as a servant. Before, it was your master. Everything was messy. So from your true self, your divine self, there is no emotions as such, because you are higher than that. You don't get involved so much in that, because there's no need. Your energy is functioning on higher levels. You have nothing to learn. When you have something to learn, you have to go through it. The feelings, the emotions, the hurt, the pain, the suffering, that is part of the human experience. So if you're very dense, you learn very slow. If you're very quick, you learn quick. Feliz Natal. be thirsty, my heart. Seek forever without any rest. Let this soundless longing, this longing that is hidden deep inside you, be the source of every word you say. Again, he's reminding, be steady, be thirsty. Let this soundless longing, this calling, hidden deep inside you, this soundless longing hidden deep inside you. Most people don't hear it. You cannot hear it if you're frozen. You cannot hear it if you're just functioning unconscious in your life. So much is happening in life, you will never touch it. And that's the truth of most people. They never touch it. They never hear this, what Rumi calls this soundless longing hidden deep inside you. That is the miracle that the master starts bringing you back. So you can start listening to that longing. It's a totally different dimension. Let this soundless longing hidden deep inside you be the source of every word you say. If that has been realized, then you don't say any nonsense. You don't say anything you don't stand up for. You don't create any fuss. You're not bragging of something that you are not. Nothing. You don't create any fuss at all. You are very alert. If you say something, you say something out of this space. Normally, people always get in a mess. They promise something, they say something, they do something else. They lie, they cheat, unconscious, till something higher, of a higher value has woken up in you. Then, of course, you are not interested in that. Then it's not so much ups and downs. The more steady you become, the less ups and downs. If you're totally balanced, in harmony, totally still then. Then you just say things as they are. No bullshit. Behotatapa. Can we sing a song? Shivani sing a song. Sugandhi sing a song. Dakini sing a song. Sing a song for us. Yeah. Okay. Beloved Guruji, can you talk about alcohol and awareness? My dear Devadasya, what wouldn't I do for you? And if it's something I like, it is the opposites. Alcohol and awareness. Because for me, there is no opposites as such. But you are talking to a drunkard. So let's see how it will go. I love to hear Ram Dass talking about when his guru, Nim Karoli Baba, ate a whole bag of LSD tablets and they had no effect. He could see the same awareness was there. I'm writing because when I see my partner drinking, I get afraid. Where is your poor partner? That I can understand, because after all, he's Irish. They are known for boozers. Look at Brahmanan. But I saved both of them, so don't worry. They are in my care. I am detoxing them. I'm writing because when I see my partner drinking, I get afraid it might be in unawareness, like a surrogate for meditation. I feel anger and mistrust a result from all the confusion of having alcoholism in my family and not understanding what was going on and not feeling it was okay to talk about it with anyone. That is more the problem there, Dasha. Huh? Because if you had this in your family, of course they couldn't talk about it because they are a slave of it. And anybody who is addicted to anything, they know that is not right. But that in addiction, then they will never say that. It's terrible. So they, it's like everything is okay. That's the same if they are heroin addicts or alcoholics or whatever they use. It's okay. Because they have to fool themselves. It's out of awareness in the first place that you become addicted, an alcoholic or a drug addict. It's totally out of unconsciousness. So how can anybody who is totally unconscious stand up for the truth? It's impossible. So if you have this in your family, that is the problem, you know? I will take care of Rai, don't worry. And maybe he needs a drink once in a while when he's with you. I don't know. I mean, you never know. I'm not saying that's how it is, but it's many sides of the truth sometimes. It's two stories, at least. A result from all the confusion of having alcoholism in my family and not understanding what was going on and not feeling it was okay to talk about it with anyone. Then as a child, of course, it's terrible because any child sees that something is not right. People are already unconscious, and then why do people use the drugs, the alcohol? Because they don't like themselves. They need to escape from themselves. So then they get more unconscious. Then they get addicted to that to take them away from themselves. It's just the opposite of meditation, of consciousness. Then in meditation you come back to yourself. You have to become more and more real. Any drug, any alcohol will take you away from yourself, get you more foggy. So that's why it's always been like that in the world, and it will always be like that, that people like alcohol and drugs, because nobody can stand themselves. They need something to just have a little break from themselves. Haven't you seen how happy they are when they get drunk, some people? Or of course they fight also if they're angry, they have anger inside or all this. But they need something. Why can't they just be happy? Because they have no happiness. They need something false. There's a false happiness out of unconsciousness. The same with drugs, even more. LSD, ayahuasca, ecstasy. Then they go, oh, I went to heaven. And I talked with the ant people. I flew with the eagle. This shaman said I was an Indian shaman life, last life. But this is not you. It can do, open something in you, but it's not reality. It's a rape to your system. So the more you take, the more an unbalance your system will be. And then you think, oh, it was so beautiful, I take another one. That's why people get addicted to it. And they think it is something, it's great. But to become in balance is a totally different thing. You have to have your whole system so finely tuned, so sensitive, so purified, that you get contact with that which is purity itself. You cannot just eat some ayahuasca. But that's what you want. Because it's so easy. You can be as unconscious as you are, and suddenly you talk with God. and the angels. Great! Even an idiot like you could talk to God. Let's eat some more. Ah, wonka tanka. It's all, I know myself, because before I met my master, I ate peyote with the Indians and ate LSD. I tried all of that. But what it showed me was a deep longing to find that on fresh air and love. That's what I said. I want to find this on fresh air and love. My longing. Then somebody heard me. Then one day I was in front of my master. And then he said, no, it's good you came now. You don't need to travel anymore. Yeah, I know. Then all that was gone and gone forever. Because I got something that was real, no? But if you function on that level, then you can never get enough, because you don't know. You don't know something that is higher in you. So you become addicted to the drug. And you think it's great. And you will never say anything, just like your family never could say. They can never say that. It's embarrassing. They have to say it's great. And it does so much. Never, ever have anybody gotten enlightened by any drug. Any alcohol. There was some kind of trauma, but everything that is made conscious is healed in me. So I wanted to bring this up. I enjoy drinking sometimes. It relaxes my nerves and opens something. It easily brings me in touch with deep relaxation or ecstasy. But I don't have experience with drinking regularly or heavily. Good, you don't need to go there to find that out. Just enjoy a glass of wine, that is good. They say even it's good for health, no? Cold beer in Brazilian hot summer. What is better than that? But just in balance, that whole life, as far as I'm concerned, you should do in balance. Nothing too much, not too little. Just natural. You enjoy everything. Everything is beautiful, no? As long as you get too much of anything, it's no good. If it's in balance, which can only come from your own understanding and the way you live, then everything is far out. Everything is far out. I like also have a glass of wine. Well, no, when I'm with such a wino, then I... cold beer in the summer. But for me, it's not so much that, like, it brings me relaxation. No, relaxation is already there. But I can feel my body a little bit more. Don't tell anybody. It's not like I want to go away from it. I want to feel it more. Oh, like that. It's very innocent, but not everybody that drinks is like me, you know, or Gurdjieff for like that, no? He liked cognac, no? But this is totally different, because it depends where you grew up. No? Like Gurdjieff was enlightened, but he grew up in that kind of environment where you were drinking alcohol. It was totally natural. Ramana Maharshi, can you imagine him? Here, cheers. Never. Telling his attendant, bring me a cold one. No, it wouldn't happen. But Gurdjieff, not only drinking, but getting drunk and driving his car and smashing his car. Almost killing himself. But he was conscious. This is very different. Or like this, my old friend, this name, Karoli Baba. That it was kind of guy. He ate his LSD pills of Ramdas, and it has no effect. And they could see that they had the same awareness. Yes, because he had to show them. Because if you're not influenced by your mind or your emotional body, then you can flush that through. You don't need to be influenced by it because it's all in the mind. Like many yogis, tantrikas in India, they even can train themselves up to drink poison. But for what? It doesn't make you more conscious. Oh yes, that you spend 10 years to drink poison. Cobra, venom, arsenic. It doesn't help anybody, but Nim Karoli Baba, he was an enlightened man. So he will just show these stupid hippies that was there. Ramdas was one of them. He was just a fool when he came. He was just a lost seeker, no? Can you imagine what this Nim Karoli? I have all compassion because at least you are not all acid heads. Those days are finished. But Nim Karoli Baba, he had to deal with all acid heads and all smoking pot and stuff. Then he had to, what kind of medicine is this? He eat it and he showed them. And then they got oppressed. Wow. Show me what you have. No? That's what happened to Ramdas. Wow, that was impressive. Because the most powerful he knew about was LSD. And this LSD or any drug, it's so long in your system. It takes years and years and years to get it out. And of course, Nim Karoli Baba wanted these people to start cleaning up. So hopefully Ramdas got that hit, that no, it's something else. Meditation is not that cheap. You cannot just get it. It's a long path. You have to purify yourself. So this is what Nim Karoli Baba wanted to show. But the Westerners, always also around Osho in the old days, including myself, I had done that, but then I met him. Around Papaji also, I remember Papaji many times was hitting these fools who was coming there, who was smoking. Oh, everybody smoke hashish in India. Oh, we've been with the sadhus, they're smoking Bom Shankar. And Papaji said, you are just fools. It's one thing with the sadhus, they have been in that maybe for 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, living, smoking, is their whole culture. And none of them is enlightened anyway, but smoke they can. But then the Westerners, they get all weird because they don't have that. And they think, oh, this is cool because the sadhus or Bom Shankar, Shiva, they can't take it. They are already too much in the head. So any drugs will bring you more into your mind. You will get more lost. So this is what's happened. This poor Nim Karoli Baba, that is compassion, eating LSD so he can show these Ramdases and people to show that he has something that is stronger. That's what he did. What kind of tablets? Is it just sugar tablets? Look at me. Pah. Give me something more. Then they were all like that. Oh. He had to prove himself. An intelligent disciple, he would never do that. It just shows how lost they were. poor named Karoli Baba having those guys. No wonder he was known to escape. Huh? No wonder he was escaping. He was just escaping all the time. He didn't tell anybody. He boof, disappeared. Where's named Karoli Baba? Nobody knows. Then 2 months later, they heard he was in Vrindavan. Oh, let's go to Vrindavan. Then they go to Vrindavan. Oh, no, he knows he's in Lucknow. Oh, they go to Lucknow. Then by the time he get back to his ashram, then it's empty because everybody's looking for him around India. No, I totally understand. My God. So this is how it always been. Osho also, he talked a lot about that, because in those days, when I came and when he was starting, then it was in the hippie days. And India has always had all these drugs. But it's very dangerous because people are already unconscious. And if you get conscious, why use drugs? Only if you're unconscious, because you want to get out of yourself, you want something else. The more conscious you are, the more less possible that you touch anything. Because you have all that blissful consciousness in yourself. So, but sometimes I have to talk about this. Because people, fools are fools, no? It's always fools. And drugs are very attractive. No, also, of course, everywhere it's very attractive. And they get more and more accepted, like everything else that is idiotic, it gets accepted. Because it's accepted to be unconscious, to do stupid things. Even the President of the United States, not this fool that is now, he should really get stoned. Maybe that could do something for him. But Clinton, they have found out that President Clinton had smoked marijuana when he was in college. And then, of course, the newspapers come after him, and then he said, no. Yeah, maybe. Huh? Yeah, I smoked, but I didn't inhale. I mean, when I heard it, that's embarrassing. Doesn't this man have any guts? Huh? Yeah, I smoked in high school, and God, was a good pot. Pah! No, who smokes marijuana without inhaling? And you're a student, huh? You have paid your last dollar for that little marijuana, and then you smoke it, at last, Saturday night, and then poof. Fuck! I tell you, you hold that smoke so long that you get blue. My God! I know, because I was a professional. I hold, pwah, bomb shanka, pwah. Oh my God! Yeah, I smoked, because I didn't inhale. My God, that poor Clinton. Just like he was. No, I don't know that woman. I don't know that. Lebovsky or whatever. Boyarsky. I don't know what. No, I don't know her name. Oh, yeah, I think. Then a few weeks later. Yeah, I think I remember I had a secretary like that. Yeah, I do. No. Yeah. Oh, maybe I did fuck her. My God. You see? I mean, that's the embarrassment. When you are the president. Huh? But that's how you guys are also. You do this. No. Maybe you didn't want to do it, but excuse me, sir, you did it. Because you're totally unconscious. Even the president is no excuse to say, oh, the president of the United States did it also. No. Wake up. Oh my God. I enjoy drinking sometimes. I relax my nerves. That's good. Everything in balance. Thank you so much. I love you. Yours, Devadasi. I know Devadasi. How is it now? Did things get clearer? And that Rahi, if he drinks too much, just tell me, okay, I will take care of him. But he told me, just yesterday it was, he said, my God, the more I'm around you, I get more and more clear. I get so clear, he said. That is a different wine I serve. When you get so clear, who cares about drinking then? I give you a different wine. That's what he told me. I get so clear. Such a clarity is coming. That's how I heal all these alcoholics. And not only with alcohol, but many people that are alcoholics with many things, unconscious things. But when you get something else, then you start forgetting about that. And you start remembering something that is much better. No? And then you feel so good, so good. Shut the light on. Rumi says, from the inside, all these people. Then I said, from Rumi, then suddenly Kabir, no, that was me, he said. Okay, make it straight. Kabir. I mean, looking at me, who? Maybe they think you have an alcoholic master or something. I don't know. Kabir says, from the inside, my master poured me the best wine. From the inside, my master poured me the best wine. And he knows what his master did. That's why we still talk about Kabir now. From his master, he got the best wine. How can you pour that? You pour that by waking up something inside now. From the inside, my master poured the best wine. From the outside, he said, drink all you want. This is how I became drunk. This is how I became drunk. Try to tell that to the ayahuasca people. Aum Shanti. I'm a proof of that wine. And this is how I became drunk. And that drunkenness is a total clarity. There's no unconsciousness, no fogginess. Jai Osho, Jai Kabir, Jai Nim Karoli Baba also, Hari Om. Jai Swaha. Jai Babaji. Vasant Maharaj, Jai Ho. Pa. This is what my friends called me in India. Vasant Maharaj. Jai Ho. I don't care.
How far down the road am I? Still searching. Same soul. Same calling. Love. brought me home, brought me home.